The number of dairy farms in Wisconsin shrunk by 500 last year, and about 150 have left the business so far this year. Low milk prices are putting a serious strain on farms with already tight margins. And when farms go out of business, that affects the farmers themselves, of course, and their local communities and economies. John Peck is the executive director of the advocacy group Family Farm Defenders. John, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me here.
And Joel Greeno is with us, the group's board president and a farmer in Kendall. Joel, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, John, let's start with you. We hear these numbers, a lot of dairy farms closing. Western Wisconsin leading the country last year in terms of farm bankruptcies. Can you talk about the squeeze that a lot of dairy farmers are finding themselves in right now?
Well, we are having these historic low milk prices right now, which is, for a lot of farmers, are already on the edge. That's like the last thing that will put them over. So, and, you know, that's a combination of things. We have increasing concentration in the dairy industry. So some of the listeners might have heard about, we have large factory farms expanding while the small farms are being squeezed out. We also have this whole issue of global trade. So we have unregulated dairy imports, which are providing a lot of cheaper milk from outside the country, putting farmers out of business. And then, of course, we just have all the existing crisis in the rural countrysides. I mean, people have already borrowed a lot of money. They have to pay loans. This time of year, people have just paid their taxes. They know they're not going to be able to make ends meet. So that's why we're getting more suicide calls. We're getting more bankruptcy notices. So it's adding insult to injury to a rural, you know, economic crisis that's been going on for a while.
And Joel, can you talk about some of the difficulties farmers are faced in the dairy industry in particular, if they want to stay in business, but these milk prices are going down? What kind of decisions, what kind of cuts are they having to weigh as they try to stay online?
Well, in a recent conversation, my very own uncle, a farm that's been in the family since 1942, he had dropped all of his insurance on everything because there was no money to pay for insurance. He was cutting every cost, expense he could find and manage to get rid of just to try and keep the farm afloat. And he said it's still not enough. Farmers usually get two milk checks a month, and his second one all goes to the bank in loans, so there isn't even any money from that one to work with. So it's a real frustrating situation and hardship for farmers to know that you're trying to function this far below cost of production.
And John, can you talk about the supply of milk? Because we see the number of farms, dairy farms in Wisconsin is going down. We have, I don't know if glut's the right word, but people are saying an oversupply of milk. What's happening?
Yeah, and I teach economics too. This is a good question for my students each semester. Is like, why could there be an oversupply of milk, low prices? And part of the problem is it's not just a U.S. market, right? So we have milk coming in from outside the country. So the U.S. has been a dairy deficit country for about 20, 30 years now. We use more milk than we produce. It's cheaper to bring in, say, casein from Australia to make pizzas with than buy U.S. milk. So there's that whole angle of the problem. The other thing is there's concentration in the industry. So if you're a big producer, not to mention particular ones on the line, but grassland dairy, for instance, which dumped 71 farmers last year in Wisconsin, Minnesota, is it easier for them to buy milk from one giant farm or from 75 small farms? So their choice is going to be buying milk from a giant farm. And then in organic, this is also a problem. Like, we often used to think, well, if you're an organic dairy farmer, at least you can make ends meet. Well, that's not true anymore either. I mean, I was at the store yesterday here in Wisconsin just looking at organic milk. All of it was from out of state except for one brand. All the organic milk I found was coming from Texas, Utah, Colorado, Virginia, New York, Indiana, Illinois, Minnesota. There's only one brand from Wisconsin. So, you know, one of our challenges is to the Wisconsin dairy industry. You want to call your stuff Wisconsin cheese? I dare you to make it with Wisconsin milk, because that's what's going to save our farmers here.
Joel, can you talk about the impact? Obviously, this has an impact on the farmers. We've been talking about that. Can you talk about rural communities if dairy farms and other farms, for that matter, are going out of business?
Well, you know, the economic impact of losing farms. I mean, here where my family's farmed since 1872 in Monroe County, there used to be 792 dairy farms in roughly 1990. And right now, you know, there's maybe a couple of hundred of those left, and our rural communities suffer because of that. I mean, you don't have the families and the farms that supported our small communities, because you don't see people going from the big towns and leaving Walmart to shop at the grocery store in Kendall. it just doesn't happen. And you walk down Main Street Kendall right now, and, you know, I used to go to Charmaine Reardon's drugstore and clothing store, and, you know, it's long since been closed, and that was a family I knew. I went to school with their children, and it's a business that no longer exists. And, you know, it doesn't matter if it's that or the grocery store or the barber shop or the lumber yard or all the other businesses, they're all closed. And that's a devastating loss. And it shouldn't be that way. But when we lose farms and farm families that supported our communities, all of our businesses and our friends and our families suffer because of it.
Talking to Joel Greeno and John Peck from the group Family Farm Defenders, looking at the declining number of dairy farms in Wisconsin, some big drops, picking up the decline in the last couple of years with very low milk prices. Even as dairy production, the amount of milk out there on the market has gone up over the years. John, can you talk a little bit more about what small towns, what small communities are losing when they lose that the farming economy and the farming culture?
Yeah, well, I mean, I grew up in a small town as well. I actually grew up in a farm in Minnesota, so we used to have 12 dairy farms in my township. Now I think we're down to 4. So, I mean, the impact on the community is, like Joel mentioned, you have boarded up small towns. You have schools. Well, my school is already consolidated, but you have school districts suffering. You know, sort of the Wendell Berry, you know, depopulation of the countryside, right? Unsettling of America problem. And, you know, churches lose membership. You know, you have to drive to get anywhere, as Joel said. I mean, some of the biggest food deserts in our country are actually in rural areas because there's no more local stores. People to drive, you know, 30, 40 miles to get to a big box retail outlet. So, I mean, that becomes a problem as far as like the multiplier effect. I mean, I often talk about this with my students. Like if you spend a dollar with a local farmer, 90 cents of that's going to stay in your area. But if you spend that money with a big farm, like over half that money is going to leave your community because they don't need to buy stuff there. They're so big, they're going to be buying from far, far away. So that, you know, the idea of there's actually a great sucking sound from our rural communities of resources leaving, economies pulling resources out. And we even see that with the banks, you know, banks closing, the money going to Wall Street. And so, I mean, it has a huge ripple effect across the rural economy.
And Joel, I understand this story is personal for you. You still are farming, but you've recently, I understand, decided to get out of dairy?
I did. You know, after 20, I grew up on a dairy farm. I've always milked cows and, you know, went through the hardship of seeing my parents leave the dairy industry. So in 93, I moved my herd and a milking system in just a couple of weeks from their farm to my farm. And that was in 1993, and then just recently sold it just because, you know, you no longer could make ends meet. And I had been in the hospital for a few weeks and had a couple of months of recovery from surgery I had. And when I come back and started taking over, you know, chores again on my own, you just realize that there was no way to make ends meet. And, you know, I remember the day that the trucks backed in and loaded out my cows, and one of the drivers looked at my daughter and said, "You're sad today, aren't you?" And she shrugged her shoulders, and he said, "You know how I know?" And she shrugged her shoulders again, and he said, "I can tell by the tears in your eyes." And with that, my daughter's lost it, and all the rest of the family lost it. And, you know, when you know all your cows and cattle by name, it's hard to load them on a truck and watch those trucks leave and go down the road and knowing you're never going to see your cows again and not knowing where they're going to end up. And, you know, the same day that my cows sold at auction, I started the job to keep my farm going at Ocean Spray Cranberries. And it's hard to adjust, and it's something you don't want to see happen, but yet you see it to yourself and your friends and family and neighbors, and it's something that continues to happen. And as John had said, there's no call for it. We just need some intervention by the people that have the power to do it and not rely on the imports and things that come in that affect our markets and put our farmers out of business.
Talking to Joel Greeno and John Peck from Family Farm Defenders about the decline in the number of dairy farms in the state. A lot of farmers leaving the business over the last couple of years. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this your story or a story in your community? What are some of the biggest struggles you're dealing with if you're a dairy farmer yourself? If you're in one of these rural communities, are you seeing local farms closing down? What is that doing to your local economy, to your local culture? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. We continue our conversation about the loss of Wisconsin dairy farms, a lot of them closing over the last couple of years, what that means for our state, for the communities those farms are part of, and for the farmers themselves. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think something needs to be done to help dairy farms, especially these smaller ones that are closing a lot over the last couple of years? Are you a dairy farmer yourself? Were you recently? Call 800-642-1234. To your calls now, Owen is with us in Wauwega. Owen, hi.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for taking the call this afternoon. Hello there, Mr. Peck. I just wanted to share my story a little bit. I'm a dairy farmer. I work on a larger farm. I'm employed by someone else. I'm trying to get my own milk market. It's really hard to find a milk market, but in the same token, the farm down the road is adding on 1,500 more cows, and that's a big deal with investors, and some of the investors aren't even from this country. They're not even citizens of the United States, which is okay, whatever, but the problem is we're replacing the farmer who can vote with illegal immigrant labor who can't vote, who would like to vote, and are great people, and they call themselves Americans. They think, and they should be American, but because they're not awarded the same rights as the Constitution awards American citizens, we have basically silenced ourselves as a community of dairy farm people because we do not have eligible voters milking the cows anymore.
Owen, thanks for the call. John, Owen brought up a lot there. We haven't talked about the immigrant labor issue as part of this. How does this all fit in?
Right. So, Owen's perfectly right. We now have about 16,000 dairy farm workers in the state, many of which are from other countries. Some of them are undocumented, others are not. And he's quite right. I mean, we would not have a dairy industry in the state right now without immigrant help with workers. I mean, it's hard work on a dairy farm. Ask anyone who's grown up on one. It's a lot of hard work. And so if you can't find people and you're not paying, you can't pay decent wages. I mean, that's part of what our organization would argue is that everyone in the food system deserves a fair wage. Farmers should get a fair price for their milk. Workers should get a living wage working on those farms. But part of the problem is if you're being squeezed by the dairy industry, which I would argue is a big problem, they want the cheapest milk possible. If that means having it all coming from one giant confined animal feeding operation or factory farm, we would say that's the model they want. And our group would argue that we want more farmers in the state, not less, more dairy farms, not less. And having 100 small dairy farms versus one giant one is going to be much better for economy and will create more jobs in the long run, too. I mean, I would hope that many of these, and I know many of these dairy farm workers who've come here from Mexico and other places, many of them were farmers in Mexico and want to become farmers themselves here. Couldn't we provide them that opportunity? But that's not going to be available to them if we have just one or two giant factory farms producing all of our milk.
Thanks for that call, Owen. We'll go next to Megan in East Troy. Megan, hi.
Hi. Thanks for the call.
What did you want to bring up, Megan?
So my husband and I actually took over a farm, and in 2015 we purchased our own herd, and for the last decade, we've been moving towards getting our own herd. And we are young farmers in general, and the average age dairy farmer is 59. And we just lost our dairy contract because we were too small. They actually encouraged us to double our herd size to 60 cows. We were milking about 35 in general. And we couldn't find the funding to be able to purchase the cows in general. So it was not worth the time to come pick up our milk for the amount of cows that we had. So now we are without a milk contract.
Well, Megan, good luck to you in finding that contract. And that, Joel, is a story we hear. We've been hearing a lot. A group of farms lose that dairy contract where even with that contract, they were maybe not even breaking even without. It's a bigger problem. Is this a struggle, especially for those smaller farms like Megan's?
Oh, it definitely is. Just in the paper last week here, it told about 11 farms in eastern Wisconsin that was cut loose by a company that was owned by the fourth largest dairy processor in the world out of Holland. And how is 11 small family farms going to make a dent when you're the fourth largest global dairy producer in the world? You know, it's just a mechanism to further promote the big factory farms and put the squeeze on real people and real families that want to make a living milking cows. And it's just a crying shame that this is allowed to continue.
Thanks a lot for that call, Megan. We'll go next to Mike in Edgerton. Mike, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. What I was going to get to was the issue of if we, the governor should get involved in this, because dairy is a big thing for, you know, Wisconsin as well as the cheese industry. And the other thing is, why can't we got all these people like in Milwaukee and certain communities that need food and issues around that and milk. Why can't we get somehow make some kind of scenario where we have a processing plant to be in Wisconsin instead of Illinois where they can process the milk for the kids that don't have a daily won't be able to afford milk or anything else, and that could help the dairy industry as well as help our kids have meals or anything like that.
Mike, thanks for the call. So John, he's looking for a couple different kinds of state government intervention there.
Yeah, I mean, I remember growing up, we used to have little glass milk bottles at my school lunch from the local creamery down the road. That's no longer the case. Now, if you go to high school in Mass and that milk's coming from Illinois, and other states have tried to have programs where if you live in, say, Vermont, you actually drink Vermont milk as a Vermont child, but that's illegal under current interstate commerce law. So we have some federal things which come into play. One thing where the state could make a difference is, a lot of people may not know, but farmers are taxed on their milk check. It's called the dairy checkoff. So every 100 pounds worth of milk they sell, 10 cents of that goes into a fund for these gut milk promotion programs and so on. And right now that money is being used to promote any type of dairy product. And we would like to challenge the governor and DATCAP, the Department of Agriculture here. If that money is being taken from Wisconsin farmers' milk checks, maybe that money should be going to promoting Wisconsin dairy products and not being used just for generic marketing of milk, because then we're just giving away the money to any big dairy processor. We should be using that to support our local farmers. And there's lots of other examples. I mean, we used to have programs where if you were a small farmer, like our previous caller, you could actually easily get money from the state to, say, buy fencing to help rotate your cows and so on. Now, if you want to get money from the state, you pretty much have to be a big operation. You have to be expanding your herd in confinement. And that's where all the money is. So the subsidies are going for expansion, not for sustainable small-scale production, and we really need to change that trend.
Thanks for that call. Go next to Cindy in Appleton. Cindy, hi.
Hello. You can answer some of my questions, but I know that we're not losing small dairy farms, and I mean, we're not losing the large dairy farms. It's the small dairy farms, and they're being run out by the CAFOs. And I just wish there was somebody in the state of Wisconsin that would represent the smaller farm instead of the larger farms, because that is, I think, what's doing all of you in.
Cindy, thanks for the call. Joel, do you agree with what Cindy's saying, the balance is for the bigger farms? And if so, what do you do about that?
It's interesting. We just had a caller state that a farm he worked at was going to add 1,500 cows. Well, where do those 1,500 cows come from? There is not a magic new cow store. The only way you add more cows is you have to buy somebody else's cows. And sadly, all those cows for expansions are coming out of, you know, the sale of our small farms. And as those producers let their cattle go, they more often end up just another cow on a feedlot in a CAFO. And it's a trend that really needs to stop, because nowhere in the economy does the farm dollar turn over more than in the farm economy, because not only are those people raising families and paying bills to raise a family, they're also buying the equipment and supplies that it takes to run a farm. And it's been known for a long time that that farm dollar turns over 7 times in the economy. Well, as another caller stated, that when you have these large CAFOs with foreign investors and foreign money and doing outside banking, we know that none of that money is being locally sourced, that they're not doing local business. And so, again, our small communities suffer as a result. And, again, our politicians are promoting this. And if they really care about our state, they need to really put their foot down and create change that is going to keep small family farms on the land, that is going to protect and preserve the economy of this state.
And I want to jump in, John, just briefly, as we run out of time, one change you'd like to see in policy that would help do that.
We'd like to see supply management like they have in Canada. So in Canada, consumers pay less for milk, farmers get more money for their milk. We could do that system here.
John, thanks a lot for coming up to the studio today.
Thank you.
And Joel, thanks for joining us.
Hey, glad to be here.
We've been talking with Joel Greeno, board president of the Family Farm Defenders, longtime farmer in Kendall, Wisconsin, and John Peck is executive director of Family Farm Defenders. We're talking about the issues facing dairy farmers in Wisconsin and what the loss of especially those smaller dairy farms means for communities around the state. You can still share your story. Email us ideas@wpr.org.